I can tell you, a lot of the pastoral counseling would not have to take place if everyone knows how to make decisions biblically. Amen? Yeah. You all don't believe that. Huh? A lot of the heartaches of life will go away if we just know how to make our decisions from the Bible. And we don't have to worry about the... basically, if it, God says that if you decide His way, we leave the consequences to Him. Okay? Daniel decided that he was just going to honor God despite the decree of King Darius. He continued to pray. He was thrown in the lion's den. God was with him. In the end, those people who accused him were thrown to the lions instead. And God actually exalted Daniel. Okay? When you honor God, God will honor you. Alright? So let's put him first. Hopefully, that is an encouragement for all of us. And I think some of us really need to come just to make Bible decisions. You don't have to be confused about life. Did you know that? Because God made it plain. God actually shows a way. We just have to make a decision to follow His way. Alright? Alright. Okay, let's turn to Psalm 84 today in verse 11. Let's stand as we read our passage, which is actually our theme verse for the month. Theme verse for the month. Okay, Psalm 84, verse 11. I pray that today will be a good reminder for all of us as Christians of how God wants us to live in our lives. Let's read Psalm 84, verse 11. Okay, ready? 1, 2, begin. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them to walk uprightly. Let's have a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, once again, we acknowledge who You are. We know You are a God who loves us. Lord, You're a holy, all-powerful God. But yet You look down on us, Lord, weak, frail human beings, and You send Your Holy Spirit, You send Your Son, so that, Lord, You can walk with us in our lives. We thank You that You are our Emmanuel, God with us. And Father, one day You will set Your tabernacle with us when Jesus comes again. But yet at this time, Lord, as we walk in this journey of life, I pray everyone who is here will begin to understand some of the equipment, the tools, the reminders from Your Word of how we need to live this life for Your honor and glory. Bless everyone who will pay attention, Lord, to what You have for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. We're going to talk about reminders for our life journey in Christ, okay, for Christians. Give you a bit of background to this verse. I have touched on this before on Friday night. Okay, the Jews were on their way to the temple at Jerusalem to celebrate. Apparently, if you study, most likely the Feast of the Tabernacles. Okay, the Feast of the Harvest, which is actually Pentecost. Okay, Pentecost. Along the way, the Jews, remember the Jews, all male Jews are supposed to go to Jerusalem 3 times a year. Okay, one of these is the harvest. Once they have the harvest, they're supposed to bring it up to Jerusalem to offer it as a sacrifice to God. Along the way, remember also the temple of Jerusalem is where God is, and everyone has to go there. So every one of them will actually make arrangements when the day come nearer, and they will pack up the whole jing gang, all right? I think I understand when the first time I went to Philippines many years ago, I think it's still the same. All the people that come to send you off are not supposed to go in the airport. Is it still the same? You have to drop them off and then bye-bye. Yeah? Okay? Well, for them, for this whole Jewish nation, everyone, the uncle, the auntie, the chokong, whoever, all will go to the temple at Jerusalem. They will all go together. Along the way, knowing they are going to the temple of God, they would rejoice, they would sing, and they would thank God, the goodness of God. They will celebrate the goodness of God. And they will worship, and know it. They're not even there yet. They're looking forward to going there. And as they go, their hearts are so happy going to the temple at Jerusalem. Similarly to our journey on earth as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, the scriptures teach us, Hebrews 11, 13. Let me just read. It's also in your verse list, okay? These all died in faith, not having the promises. We all know the book of chapter of Hebrews 11 is a listing down of the heroes of the faith. The Bible says many of these heroes of the Christian faith saw the promise afar off, but they did not receive the promise. That's why he says here, these all died in faith, not having the promises, But having seen them afar off and were persuaded, they were convinced, they believed. They were persuaded of them, the promises, and they embraced them. In other words, as these men of faith in the Old Testament and ladies of faith, they saw God afar off. They didn't even receive the promise, but they embraced and said, "This is God. I love this God." And they don't really even know who He is, but they knew in their hearts who Jehovah was and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. If you are a Christian today, you are just passing through this earth. Did you know that? Your address is only temporary. Amen? God just gives you a pigeonhole in Singapore to live. Some of you may have a bigger one. All our pigeonholes are either 3-room, 4-room, 5-room size. Some, of course, God bless, bigger. But you know, we all have a pigeonhole. This world is not our home, we're just passing through. After becoming a Christian, God doesn't promise a smooth road. But instead, all of us will experience what everyone in life will experience. Okay? Would you agree with that? Every one of us, whether you are Christian or not, will experience a whole range of experiences in life. Example, you experience joys, happiness, changes, pain, tribulations, trials, finally death. Job chapter 5 verse 7, the verse says there, "Man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upwards." If you ever look at sparks, they always go this way. So as surely as the sparks go upwards, when we are born, you know why babies cry when they come into the earth? It's because they say, "Wow, liao la, I'm going to have all these problems." Start crying. No, it's not true. Actually, it's because they have to build up their lungs as they breathe. But you know, it could be when they come into this earth, they are born into trouble. Okay, how many of you don't have trouble? Put up your hand. All of us have trouble. That's what the Bible says, okay? For the non-Christian, they do have some equipment that will help them to deal with this life. Right? Just go through. They have their own wisdom. They have their own riches. They have their own determination. Oh, I'm going to do it. But do you realize that God, in His grace, do help even those non-believers? The Bible says, Luke 6:35, Jesus says to love our enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. Your reward shall be great, and ye shall be children of the highest. Why? Because God is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Think about that. Our God is kind. He is so kind that when non-believers spit Him in the face, He still gives them food and water. Do you know why Jesus asked Christians to love enemies? Because that's what the Heavenly Father does. When this non-believing world would shake their fists and God and say, "God, get out of my life," God still send the rain. God still give them food. That's our God. And God wants us to be mature too. Question, is our wisdom limited? Is our riches limited? And is our determination limited? If you are not a Christian, all these things are limited. Okay? The non-believer in this world has limited resources to deal with their problems. Look at Ecclesiastes 4 verse 1. And this is something that maybe as Christians we need to wake up our hearts in. Because the non-believers, they can be strong, but there's always a limit. Ecclesiastes 4 verse 1. The Bible says, "So I returned and considered all the oppressions that were done under the sun." In this particular verse, the word "under the sun," if you read the book of Ecclesiastes, the phrase "under the sun" is repeated again and again. It simply means this: life without God. The phrase "under the sun" is life without God. And so Solomon, as he considered all the things happening in a life without God, he saw the tears of such as were oppressed. Those people who were going through difficulties, and they saw the tears and they had no comforter. Solomon said this: those people who were oppressed, they were crying, they had no one to take care of them. But then he noticed another thing. Notice over to the other side. And on the side of their oppressors, there was power, but even they also have no comforter. Even so, those who were oppressed and had tears, they had no one to comfort them. those who have power over to the other side, who seems to be on the upper hand, right? They also have no one, if they fall, to comfort them. 16th of September 2013, this Ministry of Health statistics, according to the police records, the number of attempted suicides rose from 2011 to 2012 by 20% for every 100,000 in Singapore. It seems that as we grow richer as a society, we actually grow poorer in our ability to cope with things happening. How many of you know of broken families? How many of you know of people who would commit suicide? Societal behavior has a large number of complex underlying factors, including family, social, economic, and mental health issues. A local study based on Singapore statistics, suicide statistics, reported that relationship problems were associated with 35% of all suicides. So out of 100 persons who commit suicide, 35% had relationship problems. Do you know why people have relationship problems? You know why we have relationship problems? Because we don't live by the way God wants us to live. To love, to forgive, to esteem the other better than ourselves, to give rather than want to receive. Wouldn't you agree with that? And people who jumped, you hurt my heart. Steal my heart away. I jump. Why? Why would you jump for a thief? You know? But why aren't we able to cope? By the way, Christians are also in this category, by the way. They can't cope. Why? Financial is the other one. Because of financial problems, I think many of them may have gone to loan sharks, they cannot handle it, they jump. By the way, do you realize suicide doesn't help anyone? Firstly, it doesn't help you. It's a crime to commit suicide in Singapore, by the way. Crime. Number two, even if you die, you pass your problems to someone who don't deserve it. The innocent children sometimes. Why aren't we able to cope? Why is there's no comforter? Of course, the elderly as well, they mentioned. However, it's important to note that it's often not just one factor, but a combination. How many of us have been there before that says, last one. How many of us has actually think, I might as well die, I've got so much problems. You're in a jam, you know. How many of you have visions of a high building and see you flying down? But I don't know about you, but I'm sure many of us, perhaps in this room, those who are a bit older, who may have gone through a bit more stress, have considered that before. The question is why? I'd rather die. Can I say this? If you say that, and you're a Christian, you don't really understand who God is. And I'm here today as a spiritual shepherd to tell you who our God is, so that you will be reminded of some of the things God says that He will give you in your journey in this life. You know, some people say, oh, Brother Johnny, I feel bad. Well, you don't have to feel bad, because even in the Bible, look at Job chapter 3, verse 2, it's in your verses there. Job was also a Christian, okay, according to a Christian, because he worshipped God. You know what he said, Job said? It's interesting. After Job lost everything that he had, after Job was cursed by the wife, chapter 1, chapter 2, three friends came, and for 7 days, they didn't say anything. 7 days, 168 hours. Because they saw Job's grief was so much, not take it. The three friends just kept quiet. You know, in chapter 3, and Job began to open mouth. The first thing he said, let the day perish when I was born. You know what he says? Curse the day that I was born. In the night in which he was said as a man child conceived, why died I not from the womb? Why didn't I die before I even go through it? Why did I not give up the ghost when I came out of the belly? Job, one who believed in God, he didn't curse God. He was just expressing his grief. And sometimes we do that too. Question is, are we in that state today that we would curse the day that we were born? I would like to actually share with you, I hope that you are not. In Romans chapter 8, Paul says we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Amen? Christian, as much as I paint a very bleak picture initially, but I can dare say, If you are a Christian, Paul says, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. God is our conqueror. We are more than conquerors in our life. And I want to say also from God's word today, just Psalm 84:11, some equipment God gave us and reminders for us in this journey. I asked my... how many of you gone camping before? Adam. Adam, when you go camping, what do you go for? Do you like to go camping? Sure not. I see you hesitate. let's not ask that. Okay, what are things you bring for camp? What things you bring for camp? Anyone go camping before? Yeah, Sean? Okay, Sean, what do you bring for camp? A tent, okay? All right, okay. Who else, Adam? What else do you bring? Or Titus, what do you bring for camp? Sleeping bag is a good thing. What else, Azel? Clothes, okay, thank you. What else? This side, what do you bring for camp? Food, okay, unless it's provided already. Okay, what else? Okay, Alison, you. St. John's Evelyn, what else? Go for camp. What? Stove for fuel cooking. Okay, what else do you bring for camp? Torchlight, okay. How many of you will forget to bring your toothbrush? Sometimes. Okay, when we came home from Bangkok, Jeremiah bought some, chewing gum that helps you brush your teeth at the same time. I don't know how it works. But for those who do not brush your teeth, this is good news. Okay? Those who are afraid of toothpaste, this is good news for you. You just... your whole teeth is... In fact, I think it whitens your teeth as well. Is that true? When you go for camp, something exciting, you will have all this equipment. Can I say this? I use that to illustrate. God also has given us certain things that we can use on our journey of life. All right? Five things. In Psalm 84, verse 11, number one, the Bible says, for the Lord God is a sun. Number one, the Lord is our comfort in our journeys. The Lord God is our sun. Notice in the scripture, it's capital L-O-R-D. It is Yahweh. It is the one who opened the Red Sea. It is the one who created the heavens and the earth. The Lord God is our comfort in our journeys. Now, how do I get that? In the journey of the Jews to the temple, from wherever the place they are in Jerusalem, they will take a few days to reach there. So they will actually sometimes need to live out in the cold. If they cannot find a place or they cannot find an inn to live in, they may have to live out there in the wilderness, the pastures, you know. And sometimes the outdoors will be cold. Those who know a little bit of Israel, sometimes the outdoors can be really cold. But you know what the Bible says? The Lord God is the sun. In the times when you are cold, God is the sun. The sun gives light, but the sun also gives life and warmth. It provides the warmth that travelers need in times when they are cold. The sun provides life and encouragement. When a person is sick, for example, a friend who comes and prays with you, cheers you along the way, and seeks to help you, is a sun to you. S-U-N. It comforts you, it gives you life, it encourages you. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. He's the God of all comfort. John 14:16, and I will pray the Father, He shall give you another comforter. This verse is precious. Remember the disciples were facing the prospect of losing their leader. The Lord Jesus has said, I'm going to the cross, guys. You know what the disciples think? What's going to happen to us? Lord Jesus, you have been our sustenance for the last 3 years. You have answered every of our needs. You have taught us things. You have scolded us. You have taught us what it means to be a servant. What do you mean you're leaving? What's going to happen to us? And that's when John 14:16 says, Jesus says, don't you worry, I'm going to pray the Father and He will send you another comforter. Another comforter. The word another comforter is a precious phrase in the Bible. You know what? It means this. It means, I'm going to send you a comforter just like the one you had. You see, the word another can be another of a different thing. For example, if you have a Schaefer pen and you lose a Schaefer pen, I can give you a kilometrical pen. It's still a pen, but it's a different one, another pen, right? But if you lose a Schaefer pen and I give you back the same Schaefer pen, it's another of the same one. Does that make sense? And so the comforter Jesus says, I'm going to give you another comforter. It's exactly what you had in me. I'm going to give you a different one. The Holy Spirit, which is God, which is divine, which is eternal, He is going to stay right here with you all the way. I'm going to give you another comforter. And that He will abide with you forever. Christian, every Christian have another comforter, the Holy Spirit in us. The moment you are saved, the Holy Spirit, God promises, comes into your life, lives in you. All right? God is our comforter. God not only gives comfort in our journeys, listen to this, He is the comforter. He is the word comforter. The word Greek word comforter comes from the Greek word paraclete, means someone who walks alongside of you. Someone who is alongside of you. Like the pillar of fire by night and the pillar of cloud by day, God gives comfort in our journey in life. Remember the Israelites as they went through the desert? Huh? Clouds. How do clouds manifest themselves? Usually you see a floating cloud this way, right? Right? Generally, it's this way, okay? It's more or less horizontal. There was a pillar of cloud in the wilderness. Pillar of cloud in the wilderness. You know why? So that the Israelites were unmistakably point out that is God. And in the wilderness, when there is no other compass, God was their compass. And at night, when there was no light, God was the pillar of fire that led the Israelites. Question for you as believers, do you find that true in your life? That the times that you find down, do you find God to be your comfort? By the way, God is your comfort, whether you take Him or not. Just like, do you know what's a comforter on your bed? Like a blanket. Okay, how many of you use comforter nowadays? Especially in the last few nights when the weather was a bit hot. You know what? The comforter is always on your bed, whether you use it or not. Simple illustration. God is with us. He is our comfort. Whether we acknowledge that or not, believe that or not, He's there. Because He is our comforter. He stays with us. There was one during Queen Victoria's reign, she heard there was a worker in her palace that just lost a baby. Apparently, Queen Victoria also lost a baby before, and so she understood the deep sorrow. So Queen Victoria actually went and sat with this lady, all right, and spent some time with her. And after she left, the neighbors came and asked this lady, "What did the Queen say to you?" The Queen, came. This lady said, "No, she didn't say anything," replied the grieving mother. The Queen just came, put her hand in mine, and we just wept together. Now, sometimes when you're grieving, you don't need answers. You just need a comforter. Amen. There are many times when my children, I'm sure fathers and mothers have experienced that. You know, when your child is hurting and they are crying, they run to you. You're not going to explain to them A, B, C, D, E, F, G, why they think. You don't give them reasons. All they need was someone to just hold them, amen? God is that kind of comforter. Did you know that? If you have never experienced God in His Word, then God says, I'm your comforter, you are missing a lot. And I dare say many Christians have never come to that place of understanding how God is a comforter. He's a son. He doesn't only give light, He gives warmth, He gives encouragement. David, when everyone went against him, even his own loyal men, the Bible says, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, Chronicles chapter 13, David encouraged himself in the Lord. God was his encouragement. Christians, do you experience the same? God is our comfort. Many times, for me, I have a privilege, I shared this before, when there's a pain in the heart of my children, when there's something in them that does not go right, when there is within the soul that needs to be soothed, it's not that they need a gift, they need a giver, they need someone to be there. They don't need the comfort, but they need a comforter that brings relief. God is our comfort. Christians, do you look for comfort in God or look for comfort in the things of this life? That's why people go to the bottle. That's why people go to drinking. That's why people go karaoke. That's why people go and watch Commando. Those who know, when I was 16 years old, I was going through a bit of problems. You know what I did? For when I became a Christian, I said, I'm not going to go to movies anymore. That was 13. Then after that, 16 years old, I had some problems. I went to watch Commando. You know the film Commando? Yeah. The most violent film during that time. And guess what I learned? I learned my problems were still there after I went to the movies. Until God taught me to go to Him. Christian, I'm not saying you go to movies to solve your problems. It doesn't do anything. And by the way, you shouldn't be supporting the violence and whatever. We need to be very careful there. Is God your comforter? Number one. Number two, the Lord is our sun and our shield. The Lord is our shield. The Lord is our protection along the way. And this is also in context because as the Jews were traveling from their hometown to the temple, along the way, the mountainous roads and all that, there will undoubtedly be robbers along the way, bandits. People will come and steal things from them, rob them. The Jews in their journeys are not exempt from the robbers to rob them. The Bible tells us the Lord is their shield. Shields are used for what? Shields are used for what? Protection in battle, when fighting. The Lord God is our shield in the journey of life. He does not promise that there will be no trials, but God Himself moves on our behalf. God does not send help. He is the help. Stop and think about that for a while. You know, when I need help from someone, they may send help. But you know what? Many times the person himself has to come and help. God is that kind of help. Look at Psalm 46, verse 1. If you have, it's also inside your verse. The Bible says God is our refuge. God is our refuge. For those who know Chinese, what's the Chinese translation of refuge? 避难所, right? 避难所. You know what's 避难所 in Chinese? Refuge is a very general phrase, but in Chinese, 避难所, 避 means to hide away from, 难 is the difficulty, 所 is a station. God is our place to run away and hide when the difficulties come. God is our 避难所. We can actually, when we talk, actually run into God. And He is our refuge. You know how powerful that is? It means that whatever troubles you have, God is your refuge. You can run to Him. He will protect you. That is our refuge. We need to and He is our strength. He is not only our refuge that we can run and hide when there is problems, but we can also depend on His strength. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of need. Oh, study the scriptures. The very present help means the moment you need Him, He's there. How many of you sometimes when you call people say, cannot get through, guess what? God don't even need 8 minutes. He's there. The moment you call Him, He's there. Amen? That's the meaning of a very present help. I'm there. Guess what? Even if the rhinos are ready to come in 8 minutes, what do you have to do first? You have to call first. God is a very present help, but He will not move until you call. Maybe some Christians don't get help. You know why they don't call? They call who? They call themselves. They call their wisdom. They call their intellect. They call their friends. They don't call God. But the Bible says He's our protection along the way. Psalm 91 verse 1, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I had a precious testimony with this. Those of you who knew we were from this church, Lagos Circle, the big blue building. And the car park is really huge. So there was one time on Saturday, we went, me and my son Jeremiah at the time. And Jeremiah was about 4 or 5 only. So we were walking towards. And then the sun was coming from this side. Okay, the sun was coming from this side. And Jeremiah, of course, was very short. And then I was walking, and then the sun came. And I realized, as the sun was beating upon me, it cast a shadow on Jeremiah. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You know what that means? When you live in the will of God, in the Word of God, the sun can try to beat on you, but God's shadow will cast a protective screen over you. Does that make sense? No one can pluck you out of our Father's hands. God is our protection. Christians, do you believe that? If you do, then why are you going through the stress you're in? Why are you going through the difficulties you're in without the peace in your heart? You know why? Because you have never learned that God is your protection in our life. There was this particular missionary who went to the Indians of Peru. Okay? They were witch doctors and all that. Her name is Laurie Anderson. Laurie Anderson. Okay? She went in the 1700s or 1800s, I believe, as a missionary to the Peruvians. One day she was looking for a quiet place to do her Bible reading. So she went down by the edge of the river. After she was reading the Bible, she took out her prayer list and with her eyes closed, she started to pray. As she was praying, she did not see there was an anaconda. You know what's an anaconda? And as she was praying, suddenly the anaconda weaved out and struck her and bit her. Okay, and bit her. Suddenly the giant snake never... This giant snake doesn't release the prey, by the way. Once they bite, they lock on. Okay? And a few times it goes back again and reared its head and went to... And so this nurse was... This missionary was screaming. But after a while, lo and behold, after this anaconda who was never known to release the grip, suddenly released and swam away. Okay? What happened was, of course, then Laurie was found, she was treated. The witch doctor from a nearby village came and stared at her. She could not believe Laurie had survived. She said that her son-in-law, which was also a witch doctor, had chanted to the spirit of the anaconda, the snake, that morning and sent it to kill the missionary. You know what Laurie said? Except for the protection of God, except God was there, I would have died. You know, this might be an extreme example. But you know what? Our testimony may not be as dramatic. But do you realize how much God has saved us from? You know, as I was thinking through this, do you realize how much troubles, trials, and heartaches you should be going through that God withholds from you? Did you know that? Brother Johnny, I don't get it. Think of a little child. How many of you, as moms, when you had little children, knowing your child will crawl around, would ensure that all the sharp things around you will remove first? That you would, or the edges of tables, you will put the plastic thing to make sure it's not, you won't hurt yourself too bad. For the plugs that you will actually put all those, the 3-pin plastic things to protect. Christians, do you realize how many things God have gone before to protect all of us from trouble? Did you know that? God is our shield. God is our shield. But Brother Johnny, I'm still going through the trouble. I don't see that. Then there was another thing which was interesting because Corrie Ten Boom, I think some of you may know, but this is for later. I've got a lot of stories, but the Bible tells us in Hebrews 1 verse 14, I'll just read this. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? This referring to angels. Did you realize every Christian, God, yes, He is the very help, but God also has His angels around us. You know, the guardian angel, you know, some of us think about the guardian angel, about someone who, do you realize that God will send His angels to care for us? The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear Him and delivereth them. Hebrews 1:14 tells us, God is our protection along life's way. There is nothing that you will go through that God doesn't know. And God is there. Point number 3, the Lord is our sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. Number 3, the Lord will give grace. The Lord will give grace. The Lord gives grace to deal with every station of life. For those who came on Friday night, what was the topic on Friday night? Which verse did we talk about on Friday night? Sorry? Psalms? 5? Sorry? 5522, thank you. Okay, our God's extension, Psalm 5522, on Friday night we talk about that. And we say that when God gives you something, He will sustain you. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He will not allow the suffered, or to not suffer the righteous to be moved. Let's turn to Hebrews 4:16. I think it's in your verse there. Hebrews 4:16. Just go through this verse. God will give grace. God will give grace. God will give grace. Try to move a bit faster. Hebrews 4:16, the Bible says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace." Let us come boldly unto the throne of grace. Who sits on the throne of grace? God. What's His name? But the Father, Lord Jesus Christ, is right beside there. You know, the throne of grace tells us one thing: grace reigns for us. In God, we see His holiness, but in Christ, we see God's grace. We can come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. Sometimes the things in life we cannot handle, we need God to reduce it that we may obtain mercy. Some children will say, "Papa, I cannot do 10 sums. Papa say, "Okay, you do 9. We obtain mercy. And sometimes when we pray, "God, I cannot take this," you know what? God in His mercy may provide relief. Right? There is no temptation taken you but such as is common to men. But God is faithful, who will with the temptation also provide a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. God with each trial you have will give you the mercy. But not only that, but find grace in times to help in times of need. God not only gives you mercy, reduce the burden, but in times of need, He'll give you the necessary grace to help you overcome. Grace refers, listen carefully, to God's ongoing strength, help, and kindness. The same grace is available to strengthen and help you as problems and needs arise along the pathway of the Christian life. God's kindness, His grace, His entire spiritual riches in heavenly places is at your disposal to help you across. Did you know that? Every trial you have in your life, there is nothing in God's arsenal of help. Rather, there is everything in God's arsenal of help is available for you to overcome. Did you know that, Christian? Did you know that in every trial you have, God will provide every need? How many of you believe that? Not many. I hope you do. Christian says, believe what God says. He says, "I will give grace." You believe God in giving grace. Many of us like to handle life ourselves. God needs us to surrender to Him. Have you ever in a situation said, "Well, I'm very afraid, but I've prayed, I'm trusting God, I'll just go." And then you find that God is able to help you get through it. You know why? God gives grace. But when does God give this grace? When does God give us this grace? When Corrie Ten Boom, you know, some of you may know Corrie Ten Boom, she's someone from Holland, and his family was responsible for saving a lot of Jews during the Nazi occupation, okay, of the hiding place. When she was a little girl, she began to realize death because she saw someone die. And so she asked her father, and she was very afraid about that. And she also was afraid that someday her parents would die. And so she asked her father, "So, Father, how am I supposed to cope with this?" And then I'll just read. Corrie's father comforted her with words of wisdom. "Corrie, when you and I go to Amsterdam, when do I give you the ticket?" "Why, just before we get on the train, Dad." "Exactly. And our wise Father in heaven knows when we are going to need things too. Don't run ahead of Him, Corrie. When the time comes that some of us will have to die, you will look into your heart and find the strength that God will give you just in time." You know, some of us want, "God, make sure everything is sweet, sweet. Then I go." No, God says, "I want you to go and trust me to take you through. If everything is nice, nice, and then you go through, you will never grow in your Christian faith." Would you agree with that? A soldier who wants all the enemies dead before he go in chang, pang, pang, pang. You will never understand what it means to take cover. You will never understand what it means to, under pressure of time, to throw the grenade to get the enemy before. You will never have the experience of fighting a war. But you know what God says? "Unless you go through with me, you will not grow." Many Christians choose to avoid the temptation. God says, "I want you to go through, but I will take you through. I will give you the grace you need." Some of you are in temptations right now. Can I challenge you? I preach on Friday. That is the lot that God has given to you. That is your life at that time. Surrender it to God and say, God, if this is what you gave to me, I will cast it back to you. I will walk through it with you. God will give you grace. Christians, can I ask you, do you live by God's grace? Or you just say it? Oh, I'm living by God's grace, thank God. But you know what? You cannot honestly say that you are trusting God in your situation. Christians, let's change that. Say, God, this is my situation. I surrender it to you. I'll walk how you want me to walk. Point number four. Point number three, God will give grace. And then God will give glory. God will give us glory. What does that mean? The word glory is we're assured of a heavenly place. Okay? The Lord will give glory. Glory has the idea of something. At the end of the day, everything is fine and wonderful. Christians know this. As a Christian, you already have booked your ticket to heaven. Did you know that? If you're a genuine Christian, you're on that one-way journey to heaven. Your end result at the end of this life is a glorious place. In 1 Corinthians, let me read Romans chapter 8, verse 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. In other words, this is all in past tense for a Christian. That means the moment you become a Christian, you have booked your ticket to go to heaven. That ticket is already bought, it's already in your pocket, it's already your computer, you just print out, you bring to the counter, you're on your way. In other words, Christians, you will never lose your salvation. God will give you glory. God will give you glory. 1 Corinthians 2 in verse 9, the Bible says, as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for them who love him. Paul says, no one can ever imagine the glorious things God has prepared for them in heaven. You know, John chapter 14, verse 1 to 3, the disciples were very afraid. If Jesus lives, then how am I leave and go to the cross? And what's going to happen to us? Jesus said this, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again to bring you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. God has promised us, Christian, the troubles in this life. I can tell you, the moment you leave this world and step into heaven, and then you look at the glories of heaven, and then you say, wow, I can live with this, you know? Those troubles, nothing, man. 70 years compared to eternity, how much is that? 70 years on earth for trouble, for eternity of glory God has given to us. But you know what? I believe one thing, when we get to heaven, we will have one regret. You know what? Sorry, before that, we will have a rejoicing. You know what? We will want to see the face of our Lord Jesus Christ. We will want to look at Christ and say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, God, for giving to me such great salvation. And we will thank God for the street of God. We will thank God for our loved ones that are there because of our answered prayer. We will thank God. God will give glory. We will enjoy the glories of heaven. But like I said just now, we will have one regret. You know what's that regret? Oh Lord, sorry, I should have given you more when I was down there. I should have given you more when I was down there. Lord, I just have this crown for you. Christians, God has promised us glory. And finally, the Lord will give all things good. Because he says, no good thing will he withhold from them. No good thing will he withhold from them. That's what God says. That's what the Bible says. In James chapter 1, 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. That's what James tells us. Every good gift. Now, we need to define what is good. For some of us, trials is no good. Because it is stress. It is difficulty. Just like my PSLE. You know, I cannot take the stress. Teacher asked me to do 10 pages. Mommy tell me to do 15. Daddy tell me to do 30. Cannot take it anymore. We need to define what is good. The definition of good, okay, in the Greek it means kindness. Something that will benefit us. That changes perspective a bit. Okay? Because for us, good means something must be good for us. Right? When you have when there's a free gift, we want to make, many times free gift ask you to buy things, right? Then you get a free gift, right? No, we want, I don't buy also, you give me free gift. That is good for us. I don't have, many times you go to a shopping center, you buy $200, they give you $10. You know, well, I spend $200 just to get a meal. Only once I get a meal, I still save my $200. Alright, we need to be good stewards of our money. But you know what God says? I'll give all things good. Good is defined by what is deemed. Good is defined by what is deemed by God that we need, and He'll give it to us. The good things that we have in life is decided by God and what He believes we need. That is good for us. When a child is sick, what is good for the child is medicine and rest. Not play computer games the whole night. Yes? What is good for the child is not necessarily what the child thinks. We give as parents medicine. Sometimes, last time we take medicine, I always very bitter one. Now at least a doctor add a bit of sugar, easy to swallow, right? But last time the medicine is just cool, bitter. But now they add sugar, easier to swallow. You know, sometimes God may have to let us swallow bitter pills to make us better. If that's the case, then that is good for us, the bitter pill. Does that make sense? And for some of us here, God says, I'm going to give you the trial so that you can learn to trust me. And some of you are still confused. You know why? Because you have not learned to surrender to find God. Your plan is best. I'm seeking you first. Is it trials that we need that we may receive patience? He will give trials. I remember my children telling me, Papa, there was one time when our church was going through quite a number of things, as our family as well. And I forgot something that I prayed. Then my children reminded me, Papa, remember that you prayed that God will give us trials to help us grow. Yes, I did. And He gave us trials that we might grow. You know, as a church, I'm thankful. Many of you have grown. You can see your lives. You can see how, yeah, things are tough sometimes, but I can see how God is moving in some of your lives to grow. You know, that's the heart of a pastor. I rejoice most when people walk in the truth of God's word. Despite the trials. Despite the trials. God will give what is good. During the late 1800s, there was an evangelist who made several trips to America to preach. And there was one time as he was coming out, he saw a little boy, a poor boy, who was holding a pitcher of milk, glass pitcher, coming out. And as the boy fell, cracked the pitcher, and the milk was sprawled all over the... And the evangelist ran and tried to help this boy. And the boy was crying. And he was saying, the boy was not hurt, but he was terrified. He said, my mama is going to cane me already. I love it already. And so the preacher suggested, come, let's try to put the pitcher together. All right? But it couldn't be done. So finally, the boy kept crying. And finally, this evangelist had picked the boy up, went to the nearby store, bought a pitcher. And then after that, brought it to the place inside, bought the milk, filled it up, cleaned it, of course, first, and then gave it to the boy, carried the boy and the pitcher back to the home. And just outside the door, the evangelist gave the pitcher of milk to the boy and said, now will your mama whip you or cane you? The boy said, no. You know why? Because this pitcher is better than the one we had last time. Sometimes in our lives, we look at our broken pieces and say, God, I can't do it. God, I can't do it. And God says, come unto me. Doana! God, my pitcher of milk is gone. And then a preacher preaches, come unto me. Doana! And then I say, God. And we go around our lives holding our broken pitchers of milk when a friend encourages us with an SMS. Go to God. When you're invited to come to a church whereby people can pray for you, you reject. You know, little boy was wise, wasn't he? He had let the evangelist help him. Christians, how long are you going to hold on to your broken pieces when God says, I will give you How many of you believe that God will give you better if you just give Him your broken pieces? By the way, you've already broken it. So why are you still holding on to the broken pieces? Broken pieces could be because of bad decisions. Could be because of things you've done in your life that you know you shouldn't have. Situations may have caused you to do certain things or make certain decisions that you know it was out of God's will. Now we are suffering the consequences of that. But the Bible says this: God can even change the worst situations into the best for you. That's God's grace. God can change a murderous Paul into one of the most faithful Christians. And even today, we are being influenced by the words of the Apostle Paul. God can change the most filthy prostitute and make her pure as the lily of the field. That's God. But in order for God to be involved in a transaction, notice the last part of the verse. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. In other words, as much as God is a comfort to us, He is a protection for us, He gives us grace, He will give us heaven, and He will not withhold any good from us. He only has one request. That's God. He gives you so much. He asks for so little. You know what He asks? All I want you to do is to walk uprightly. In other words, you will stop telling lies to your boss. In other words, you will start obeying your parents' children whenever they say certain things. In other words, you will stop giving excuses for your lack of faithfulness to God in doing what you know you're supposed to do and are not doing. You will stop giving reasons why you cannot obey God. God just wants you to walk uprightly. Just as a father will tell a child, I will give you a blessing if you just do the right thing. Stop running away playing computer games with friends you shouldn't be with, who leads you astray from the right. Stop coming back to the straight and narrow way that God has for us. Dear friend, there is no blessing. There's no blessing without us putting in the effort for it. You're not going to do well for your PSLE. Are you listening? If you don't study. Agree with me? Simple as that. But when you study, the goal is not just to get good results. It is, Lord, thank you for the opportunity to study. Can I just say this? I say it before, I say it again. When I went to Bangkok, there were children of refugees who didn't have money to go to school, and they were fighting for an education. And we in Singapore, education is so heavily subsidized, but many students just do not want to take the opportunity to study. Student study is your work that God has given. That's your will. Do your hardest, number one, to glorify God. Number two, to honor your parents. And number three, to be a testimony of what God can do when someone surrenders, even as a child. I'm thankful for those who have in the JC. You've done very well. Many of our students here have taken that seriously. They have studied hard. We have top students in classes in our church, though small. Amen? But because their heart is to honor God in what they do. And God will honor them. But Christians, we need to walk uprightly. That is the requirement of Scripture. We walk uprightly based on what? Uprightly simply means humbly, in submission to what God says. As an obedient soldier obeys the command of the commander, who goes right, he'll go right. Goes left, he'll go left. Who stay put, he'll stay put, according to the instruction of the wise king. As we close, how do we trust God? You know, remember, God is our comfort. He's our protection. He gives grace, He gives glory, He gives what is good. We need to walk right. How do we trust God? As a little child. Just take God as His word. Christian, is your life journey tough? God is our shield. He's our protection. He will give us grace. I can tell you from the life and experience of myself and I think many Christians, those of us who have truly trusted God. Can I say this? When you walk uprightly, your life will never be so smooth We want a smooth life. Sometimes God says no. The way to growth is stress. But God will take you through that stress. Are you willing to allow God to take you through? Christians, can I remind you, God is our comfort. He is our protection. He gives us grace in times of need. He has already given us a place in heaven, and He will give us everything that is good for us. All He asks, if we walk uprightly. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for this time we can open the Word of God. Lord, I'm just a human instrument, easily discarded, put aside. But Lord, I thank You that You have seen fit, at least for this Sunday, for me to share Your precious Word with these dear people. Lord, there is nothing I can do without Your help. And Father, there is nothing every listener to this Word of God can do without Your help too. Lord, You are our comfort in times of need. You are our protection in times of danger. You are, when we are going through trials, You give grace to help us overcome. And Father, You have already assured us of a place in heaven. And You give all things good to us as well. Help us to walk uprightly. Our eyes closed, heads bowed, no one looking around. I just want to ask one question. If you are a Christian today, God has spoken to you. I don't know what your heart is, but perhaps the confusion in your life, the trials in your life, is put there by God to push you back, to remember these five things. That you need to put Him first, rather than our own selfish desires, our pride, and just let Him take control. Is there someone who said, Brother Johnny, pray for me, that God will help me, that I will decide to seek God above all and put Him first and honor Him. Is there someone who said, Brother Johnny, pray for me, that God will help me to honor Him first above all? If that is your request, just put up your right hand. I'll pray for you. Is there someone like, amen, I see that hand. Just put it up and put it down. Is there someone, amen, I see that hand. Amen. Some of the young people are putting our hands. What about us, those who are older in the faith? Are there things that we confuse about life? God is there to give us grace and glory. Is there someone else? Put up your right hand. I'll pray for you, for your situation. I don't know your situation. God does. But I can pray for you as your pastor. Can I see that hand too? Amen. Is there someone else? Amen. Let's pray. Father, I pray for some of the Christians who have put up their hands. Some of them, Lord, even teenagers. I pray, Father, they will begin to understand the need, Father, to put You first above all. Lord, You will give grace, You will give glory, but You will request us, or rather You require us to walk uprightly. And Father, I pray Your Holy Spirit will not cease to work with us in our hearts. Will continuously walk with You. That despite the trials, just like the Jews, as they walk through the wilderness, Lord, they were led by the pillar of cloud and pillar of fire. We pray, Lord, the fire and the cloud will not depart from our lives, and we will constantly allow it to lead us. That, Father, You said, no good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. Help us to walk uprightly, and therefore help us to then see the good things You have installed for us. We thank You, we pray for these few brethren who have put up their hands. I don't know the need, but You do. Father, I pray specifically for a few things. One, their decision will stick. Number two, that they will be able to clearly identify what is that area of need. And number three, for the teenagers, they will go to someone older than them who will be able to counsel them and help them in this journey of life. I pray Your Holy Spirit, Lord, will take these young lives and transform them by the power of Your Word and the influence of the Holy Spirit. As we sing the closing hymn, Trusting Jesus, I pray we will learn all life journey to trust You first. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.